Let's begin tonight by turning to hymn number 243. We don't have a pianist tonight, so we'll have to try this one on our own, a cappella. We'll just sing this one hymn. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Thank you. We welcome each one tonight. We're thankful that we're able to meet. There's so many of our brethren in various places, Louisiana, Kentucky, where they have snow and ice and no power and hardships of various kinds along those lines, and they're not able to meet, and they're kind of having a rough time right now. And we remember all of them before the Lord. The Lord's people, wherever they are, we just pray for them. We want to continue to pray for Richard, as that the Lord would help him and grant him relief from his sickness. Pray for Paul and Ree. Pray for Lizzie tonight, who's having stomach issues, probably from gluten intolerance. And I want you to remember tonight families, friends of ours, that whose son is very seriously ill. His name is Nicholas Swenson. And we pray that the Lord would be pleased to help that young man according to his will. I think he's just about 35 years old and in serious, serious condition. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Our Lord, we thank you tonight that though we are weak and sinful. That we in the Lord Jesus Christ can call upon Your high and holy and almighty name, the name which is above every name, and the name that You manifest in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would hear us because of Him, because of His sacrifice, because of His intercession and His being our mediator. We pray, Lord, that You would forgive us for our many sins, failures, for our sinfulness. We ask that You would have mercy upon us, that You would grant to us grace, that unspeakable grace and gift that You give in Christ crucified. We pray, Lord, tonight for these that You already know about, but we call them by name and many more. And we ask Your help and Your blessing, and we pray that Your will would be done, that wise and good and gracious will, that You would perform it and carry it out in all of these lives as it pleases You, knowing, Lord, that You do all things right and well. We pray for Brother Richard. We ask that You would help him and raise him back to health. We know that You're able. We know that You can help and heal as it pleases You. We pray for Paul and Ree. And Lord, I pray for my granddaughter Lizzie, that You would help her, that You would raise her to health. And we ask that it might be all done for Your name's sake, for Your glory and praise. We pray for this young man that we've mentioned. We ask that You would help him. And Lord, help his family in these trying times. We pray that You would manifest Yourself to them, that You'd be pleased to reveal Yourself in grace and in mercy to them, for Christ's sake. We pray that You'd help us tonight as we come together to look at Your Word. We ask that You would be pleased to reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ and His mercy and grace to that people that You've chosen Him before the world began. Lord, do everything by Your strength and for Your glory. Manifest Your name in our midst tonight, Your presence, we pray, by Your Spirit. And we say again, Lord, help all Your people scattered abroad wherever they might be, and cause them to know Your grace and help in these hours. And their troubles, various ones, we ask that they would be able to rest in Your sovereign will and be blessed by Your sovereign hand. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn back one more time, if you would, tonight, to Zechariah chapter 13, as we look one more time at this seventh verse. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. We talked in the beginning of these messages about the glittering sword. Awake, O sword. And then about the smitten shepherd. Smite the shepherd. And tonight I want to talk to you about the scattered sheep. The scattered sheep. God, as He does often, by both prophet and apostle, speak of these sheep. And they're always spoken of in association with this particular shepherd. If you notice, it is singular here. He is the shepherd. And of course, the shepherd is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But He would not be a shepherd if He did not have sheep. He refers to these people as my sheep. And this passage, this prophecy, in a sense, was literally fulfilled in the New Testament on a particular occasion. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 26. And look down at verse 31 on this occasion of the taking of our Lord Jesus to be crucified, the hours surrounding His death. But after He had given them or instituted the Lord's table, and they had also sung this hymn, it says they went out into the Mount of Olives. And then in verse 31, it says this, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." And we know that is exactly what happened. They all went to their places. They all went, Peter denying Him, and He was left to stand alone and to face the thing that He would face. Look over in John 16. John 16. And verse 32, He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." He talks about the sheep being scattered. But these sheep that are living at the time of Christ's life and death on this earth, they are not the only sheep. These that he speaks of here in the greater sense, and this is borne out in the Scriptures, these that he speaks of in the greater sense, calling them his people, also his elect, these chosen ones, this peculiar people that the apostle speaks of, they are made up of his sheep in every age, in every time, as long as the world stands. If you'll turn back over to John chapter 10, we find this in John chapter 10 spoken of in such clarity, in such a distinct matter, him identifying himself as the shepherd, and he's also identifying those who are his sheep. Verse 16 of John 10. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Other sheep, I already have them. They're already mine. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. These that Christ came to save, that he came to redeem, are described as his sheep. As his sheep. And they are distinguished not only as his sheep, but they're distinguished from those who are elsewhere described as the goats, and who are described here in this chapter as those such as the Pharisees who do not believe. Who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do not look to him for all of their salvation. Who do not have him, trust him, and yet deny him as he is, the great shepherd of the sheep. And when you read here in John 10, in verse 24, it says this, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And this is his answer to them. I told you, and ye believed not. I told you who I am. I told you what I came to do. I told you where I came from. I told you who sent me. But you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. That is, you are not of his sheep, because it is evidenced in the fact that you do not believe. You do not believe I'm who I said I am. You don't believe that I've come to do what I said I've had done. You don't believe on me as the Christ who is the fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies. You do not believe on me as I am in the Word of Truth. And these sheep, not only are His sheep, but they're the ones He died for. I don't have any doubt, any qualms, any questions about who Christ died for. If you look here in John chapter 10 and verse 11, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. He gives His life. And then also, He says this in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's talking about His death as the sacrifice for the sins of His sheep. That's what He came to die for. But I want you to notice tonight how they are said to be scattered. Just scattered. And they're scattered in the sense that they are not only Jews. They weren't just Jews. It wasn't the nation of Israel He's talking about here. They're not Jews. They're not just Gentiles. They're not just in this country or in that country. They're not of this, just this colored skin or that colored skin or any and all of the other distinctions that men make among the human race to try to say that this race or this people or this nation are those who make up the people of God. They are a scattered people. And they're here in this world, scattered as they are by God, but God will do, as He says in this text we're looking at, He will do something for them and to them as a result, as a consequence of what has happened to the shepherd. Whatever He does to these sheep, whatever He says about these sheep, it's always in relation to the shepherd, not only personally, but as far as His work is concerned. It's always as a result of His being smitten, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. The sheep are scattered, but He says here, I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. I thought about it today. That is always shown in this book as being the first cause of any blessing, spiritual blessing to any person. It's because of something God has done. People like to look at faith as being believing that God will do what he says that he'll do. But it is first believing that God has done what he says he has done. Everything that happens to God's sheep, and especially this glorious salvation by grace in Christ, everything is the result of the shepherd being smitten and the Lord turning his hand upon the little ones. He will gather all of his sheep, these scattered sheep, he will gather them to the shepherd. He won't gather them around a false shepherd. He won't gather them to a church or to a religion or to a host of other things that men gather to today and are seeking to gather others to. He'll gather them to the shepherd. He'll gather them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to look at what is being said in all of these passages in the Old Testament, especially concerning this gathering, these scattered sheep to the shepherd. Look over first in Deuteronomy chapter 30. When he speaks of this nation Israel, he's speaking concerning these spiritual promises and prophecies to the true Israel of God, which is his sheep. He says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Now, if you try to apply such prophecies to physical Israel, if you try to make you a chart or a scheme or do something to satisfy the natural mind regarding these things, you will be sadly disappointed. You'll end up making yourself believe your lie or somebody else's. Because such passages as these can only and are only fulfilled in God bringing his scattered sheep, his people, spiritual Israel, to Jesus. Look over in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 18. Isaiah chapter 18, verse 2. That sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, say, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. God sends his messenger to a scattered people, to a nation that is separated and disjointed in the eyes of men. But he gathers that people, he gathers by these messengers, he gathers that people together. It says, to a people terrible from their beginning. Awesome from their beginning. Why could it be said of God's people like that? Because their beginning is in the beginning, which is Christ. Look down a little bit farther. Verse 7. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. This people is going to be brought. They're going to be delivered. They're going to be presented as a present to God. They're going to be gathered from the lands and the situations and the places and all that they have been scattered. They're going to be brought to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand that was stronger than he. Did you know that those two names mentioned there are names for the same man? And they are the names that identify the very sheep of God, the elect of God, what they are by nature and what they are by grace. They are Jacob, conniver, supplanter, sinner. But God has made them by grace Israel, prince of God. And they'll all be gathered together. They'll be brought because they have been redeemed by the smitten shepherd in his blood. They'll be gathered as a shepherd does his flock. They are the flock of Christ. That's what he calls them. Fear not, little flock. Because it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right, look over in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 8. He talks about his judgment and his bringing down and his slaying. But in verse 8 he says, Yet will I leave a remnant. This is the remnant according to the election of grace, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when ye shall be scattered through the countries. He brings his judgment to bear on all nations and all people, but there'll be some who escape that judgment because they have already been meted out that judgment in the shepherd, the smitten shepherd, who bears the judgment for their sin. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11 And look at verse 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. In the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. He's not talking about a geographical location there. He's talking about the possession, the promised possession of all God's elect in Christ. He'll give every blessing. And he says, I'll be to them as a little sanctuary, refuge. Refuge from their sin, refuge from this world. All right, look over in Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 41. You know, all these passages, he's talking about the coming judgments of all people and the judgments from the time that this world has stood of all people, but how he has gathered his scattered people out from amongst this judgment and brought them to his son. Verse 41, I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. I'll be set apart. I'll be regarded among all the unbelieving world in those who believe on and give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in what God has done for them. Look at one more here in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not eat, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. You read in Luke's gospel, and you hear of that shepherd seeking that lost sheep. How long does he seek that lost sheep? Till he finds it. And he gathers that sheep up in his arms, and he brings that sheep all the way home. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Of course, Christ did that when he came to this earth, when he laid down his life for the sheep. And he brings them in their experience at that appointed time, from that place where he scattered them. He brings them by his gospel unto himself. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good field, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. Saith the Lord God. I'll find them, somebody said. I'll feed them. I'll fold them. I'll bring them to where the place of rest is. I'll make them lie down, because they rest in Christ. They rest because he's their Sabbath. He's our Sabbath. We rest in him. We don't work for salvation. We don't work to establish righteousness. We rest in the finished work of the shepherd. We depend on the shepherd. And then he says that he will also save his little ones. I went back and looked at all the references concerning little ones in the Scriptures. And it simply means children. So-and-so and his little ones, his children. They are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. They are his elect. They are his people. But they are his children. They express in a term that is so intimate and so endearing, his little ones. They're those little ones that he speaks of in the book of Revelation, who have been redeemed of Christ, and they confess their redemption by Christ through his blood. And they're said to be this, a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. They're scattered. Scattered in every age. Scattered in every place. Scattered in every situation. Scattered in every culture. Scattered in every walk of life. And he favors them highly. He favors them very highly. Turn back again to Matthew's gospel. And look at Matthew chapter 10. They're little as far as any significance is concerned in this world. They're little in their own eyes. They're little among the people, just like Israel was the smallest of of the nations. But listen to the words of Christ here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. He says, "And whosoever shall give to drink," I know of nothing any more simple than giving somebody a glass of water, a cup of water. "And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones," he's not talking about natural children there. He's talking about his spiritual children. He's talking about these sheep, my little ones. "A cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Just a little one, but highly favored of God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. I'm giving you a Bible drill tonight. Look over at Matthew chapter 18 and listen. If you're one of God's people, if you're a true believer, if you look into Christ the shepherd, and you're saying with David the shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything that I need and want in Christ." And he's talking about you here. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," that's who they are. They're those who believe in him, trust in him alone for all righteousness, all salvation, "which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." To be avenged by the great God of heaven. "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe," and there are many people who have done just that, and they've done it because of Christ. They've done it because they believe on Christ. They've done it because the gospel is the offense of the cross. He said it'd be better for him if he offend one of these little ones. There'll be a wrath to face for these predators and sexual predators of these young children and such. There'll be wrath to face. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about his dear redeemed children. Children of Christ, the sheep of the shepherd. All right, look also down in verse 10. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." They're angels. The apostle said, "Are not these angels ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation?" That's who it is. The sheep of God. Verse 14. Even so. He's talking about that 99 and that one lost sheep that went astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You see, there's a lot riding on these sheep, these little ones not perishing. Because God has given to them eternal life. And they'll never perish. All the honor of the Godhead depends upon them not perishing. Them not being condemned. Them being saved altogether by Him. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. That's why Peter says he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all of these usward should come to repentance. He'll send His gospel. He'll send His Spirit. And He'll bring these scattered sheep. Justice requires it. The shepherd has been smitten. The glory of God depends upon it. And it doesn't matter how far. Doesn't matter who they are in themselves. It doesn't matter what they've done. Well, some of us have scattered ourselves pretty bad. But He'll gather the scattered sheep. In our day, some in Malawi, some in the UK, some in Russia. I could go on and on and on. They're scattered. I think if there's one thing that the internet has convinced me of, it's that that is the truth. His gospel, God's gospel, the gospel of His sovereign free grace in Christ crucified, that gospel has in these last years gone to places we would not imagine. Why? Because the sheep are scattered. And Christ said, I'll bring them. I'll bring them. I'll seek them till they're found. I know where they are. I know where they are. Mark 13 and 27 says, and then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. He'll send his angels. Well, an angel is a messenger. He's already sending his angels. He's already sending his messengers with this gospel because he said, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me. They'll believe. When the Spirit of God takes the gospel and He gives them eyes to see and hearts to believe, they'll believe. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And when they come, I'll in no wise cast them out. But He's talking here also about when He sends His angels to gather in that day. His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And He gathers them never to be scattered again. Never to leave the shepherd's side again. Do you hear that song we sung? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're all straying sheep by nature. But He won't let us get far. And that's why these sheep being where they are, that the words go out in His command at the very first to the apostles. And He said to them, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Why the uttermost part of the earth? Because there's a sheep there. A sheep scattered. And He'll bring them by His almighty power. Awake, O shepherd. Smite the shepherd. Against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Against my shepherd, smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Little ones. He seeks them till He finds them. One fellow wrote in a poem, "He sends the hound of heaven for them, His Holy Spirit, taking the things of Christ and showing it to them, bringing them unto Himself." Our Father, we pray tonight that You would take Your word, poorly spoken as it is by my own mouth, but Your word written in Your book, and call out Your sheep, gather them by Your hand and power for Your glory, and most especially, gather them to the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray again for these that are sick. Lord, Thou knowest all their situations. You know our helplessness to do anything for them. You're pleased to heal them and raise them up. We'll know. The world may not know, may never acknowledge, or may credit some false god. But we'll know. Your people will know that it's because of Your power and Your mercy and grace. Because we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.